Y'all know what time it is.
Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Like a million bucks, diamond things in his cuffs. Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody out there listening to me. Mm-hmm. Put your hands together for Steve Harvey.
Put your hands together.
Who could we please?
Steve Harvey.
We're in.
Oh, oh,
listen.
Steve Harvey, why don't you join
oh, yeah,
me?
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody, y'all listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only Steve Harvey got a radio show. I have something, and it so describes how I was living. It so captures the feelings that I had about beginning on the pathway of my dreams. It so describes how I felt when I was about to attempt something. And I have some striking news for you. It describes often how I feel still today to a degree. So let me tell you what that is. And I know it's happened to a lot of people. Here's an analogy that I've heard a couple of different ways, but I've kind of, you know, fixed it around to where I can drink it better. And I think it fits my personality to describe it to people best this way. You know, I've talked often about the urgency of doing something with your life, of getting started today, of stopping the procrastination and putting it off and waiting on all your ducks to line up in a row and waiting until the stars align themselves. If you're waiting on such a thing, you're never going to get started. I don't know too many people who can say that all the ducks just lined up in a row. Things happen. Even when you get them lined up, one of the ducks get out of line or somebody knock over the dominoes, something happens. But here's the point I'm getting at. God has so many blessings available to you. You who's listening, God has so many blessings available to you from where you are right now. I don't care what you've gotten yourself into or what you've done. God has so many blessings that he can send your way. But you have to do something. See, a lot of people just sit around and go, man, something always happening to you. You always getting a break. You always doing this. You always doing, man, don't nothing come my way. Listen to me. If nothing ever comes your way, you know why that is? It's because you're not doing anything. I promise you, you're not. See, here's the deal. God has all these blessings he wants to send you, but you got to give him something to work with now. Come on. You have to give God something to work with. God will bless you. God can touch people's hearts on your behalf. He can move situations around for you. He can align the stars. He can set the ducks up in a row. But align the stars and move people around and touch people's hearts and set the ducks up in a row for what? Based on what? Have you put forth any effort? Have you made a single step in any direction to do the right thing or go the right way that gives him something to put his finger on? Come on, man. God can only bless you according to your faith. If you have a little bit of faith, give him that. Let him work with that. He can do that. You know, man, I didn't always start with these speeches you hear in the morning now. I ain't always had these. I grew to these. I stumbled my way to these. I messed up my way to these here. I got it wrong so many times to be able to sound like I got some sense. I said it often, failure is a wonderful teacher. Do you know how many times I have had to have failed to have what I have in my head today? I'm telling you, man, it's a process. People get mad at the process. You got to do something to give God something to work with. He'll bless you, but what you want me to bless if you ain't putting forth any effort, if you just sit down and start, I got a book coming out, I'm telling you, man, that's going to really explain this thoroughly, man, where you can get blessed from wherever you are in your life, wherever your starting point is, wherever you find yourself wound up, you can get it back from there. I've done it. Man, by the grace of God, I done it. I got over, man. I learned some things along the way. Because here's the deal. As long as God keeps waking you up in the morning, he ain't through with you yet. When he's done, you're done. But if God still has a plan for you, you wake up in the morning. He still got some more work for you to do, you wake up in the morning. So if you keep waking up, man, it's something that God wants from you, would love to have from you. And he can work with you, man, if you just walk towards him a little bit. So here's the deal. I know it's hard for the average person to start because the fear of the unknown is incredible. What if I fail? What if I don't get picked? You know, one of the hardest things I ever did was walking in to quit my job. Oh, man, let me tell you about that day when I decided that I was going to be a full-time comedian after winning an amateur night one time. Quitting your job, following your dream, going for it, despite all the naysayers, it's like stepping off a cliff. It's like actually just walking off the edge of a cliff, hoping now, not really knowing, but hoping. Hoping is the bare basis of faith. I stepped off that cliff hoping that my parachute would open and allow me to drift down. See, I've never skydived before, but I would imagine part of the thrill, and I don't know this because I'm not going to skydive to find out. I think part of the thrill for people is the danger part of throwing yourself out of a plane and how it feels to be free falling. But the whole time they're free falling, having this exhilarating over the top moment, you have got to believe in your heart of hearts. You have got to hope with everything in you that when you pull this cord, the chute opens, or else this ain't a good move at all. But you've packed your chute yourself. You've taken the lessons. So you go ahead and you make the leap. Now, the only thing about quitting your job and following your dream is you ain't really been trained all that good for this. You done packed your chute, but you ain't never opened it before. So I walked off this cliff. That's what it was like. And you following your dream is like you walking off a cliff. Now, let me tell you something. Here's the part where people don't never make the jump. They see somebody like myself who jumped off the cliff and the parachute don't open right away. And I hit a couple rocks on the way down. I got my back cut up pretty bad. I got my clothes ripped off. They see that. 3 years living in a car, man, he got his life towed down jumping off that cliff. I ain't jumping off that cliff. But see, what you don't understand is you don't know it, but eventually the chute will open. And I'm at the parachute opening part of my life, man. where the chute didn't open and I'm drifting. And I'm able to go over to Paris, guide my chute over to Paris and glide. I've glided over to Africa and seen what it looked like. It's a slow ride down when the parachute finally opened. And my back didn't heal, too. And the cuts that I had on me, I remember now I know how to stay away from the edge. But the parachute done opened. And I'm enjoying my life for the first time. I'm gliding. But I got hit up against a rock. I can see more. I get a chance to see more things. I get to glide and see more parts of the world. I'm living my dream. The parachute opened. Your parachute is going to open, but I'll tell you one thing for sure. It'll never open if you don't step off that cliff. You got to step off that cliff. God will get the parachute open for you, but you got to jump, baby. That's the hard part, ain't it? Now, the question is, the end of this story right here today, when you jumping?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Today's show is dedicated to all retired athletes.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
That's good.
All retired athletes. Not pro level.
Yeah, that's you, Tommy.
Just dudes that used to play stuff but can't play it no more.
That's all.
That's everybody.
I'm in there.
That's the entire country right there.
That's who this show is dedicated to. For those of you who can't do what you used to do.
Them guys.
Yes, yes. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning, Steve. How are you? Hello, everyone.
Yeah, yeah. What's up, Carla?
Hey, Steve. Happy Monday. Hey, crew.
Junior.
Morning, everybody. Morning, Unc.
Food number one.
Yay, yay. Top of the morning, Uncle Steve and everybody in the building.
Other food.
Thank you, Columbus, for coming out. Had a good time, sold out show. Watch out there now, Steve Harvey.
Yeah, you know why your show's selling out?
Because I'm here.
Yeah, remember, because we let you sell it.
Because you get the appetite.
That's important.
Yeah, let you sell it.
Gotta remind a Negro
you
where
you know, he pulled me over
from,
to the side, Uncle, and said that. Hey, man, they let you promote over here?
See, he can't believe it.
Yeah. What is he whispering for? He pulled me to the side. Like,
well, see, here's the deal. The bigger y'all are, the bigger we are.
Mm.
It just doesn't work without it.
Teamwork. Mm.
If y'all go
work
out here and blow up across the country as stand up, we better.
Yeah.
It's like Tommy. Tommy do these pranks, right? Mm. And they
yes,
be killing.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the prank, he asked him one question. Who got the baddest? I mean the baddest more. And they say Steve Harvey. Now, if I sit up here and go, Tommy, your prank's too long. Tommy, why you? We ain't got that contact. Let him do him, dog.
Yeah.
Let him go. At the end of the day, we all win.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, even teamwork. And we even win the comedy club. They say from the Steve Harvey Morning Show, ta-da.
That's what they say now.
That's what they say.
Yeah. Well, they say he used to be over there, but now he over here.
Oh, that's your intro.
Yeah, yours is different.
Mine is a little different. He used to be over there, but now he's on championship team.
I love that championship.
Championship team.
It's just the way you say it. Yeah.
Championship team, baby.
That's it.
Well, now I guess Miss Ann will be here with a lot of news to talk about.
Oh, yeah. So much stuff going on. This
what a mess. What a hot mess, man.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah.
So awful. Yeah, but
terrible.
She will be here.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Didn't it seem like to you that it actually, as tragic of an event as it was, for the first time this year, I've seen both parties, Democrats and Republicans, agree on something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well, oftentimes, you know, tragedy brings people together. You know, that's just unfortunately how the world works a lot of times, you know.
Yeah. And the shooting at the baseball game. You remember the congressional baseball game?
Yeah.
Wow. That was tragic, too.
They
tried to come together.
Okay.
All right, coming up, something funny. Carla wants to talk about chores today, and do kids even do half as much as we did?
Hell no.
We did a lot.
Hell
we did
no.
a lot.
No.
Oh,
all right,
yeah,
we'll
I
be
got
back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, it's time for something funny. What you got, Carla?
Okay, so recently, you guys, I posted a picture of my 9-year-old daughter, Tasha.
Mm-hmm.
Washing dishes is now one of her chores for the first time on my Instagram page. You can check that out at Lips by Carla. But this is her first time washing dishes.
Uh-oh.
So Jay Anthony Brown and I, we were on the phone. We were talking about this and chopping it up. And Jay, we were saying, do kids today, do they do even half as much as we did back in the day? So I want to know.
Nowhere close.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the chores that we did, especially at 9 years old. At eight, I was cooking.
Dang.
I was cooking at 8 years old.
I could.
What?
I was cooking. I detailed cars. We didn't go to no car wash. I detailed my mama car in the front yard.
How old were you?
Cooking?
Seven.
You were cooking at nine? Damn.
Cooking?
Wait a minute, Tommy. Shirley's still on cooking.
I do remember going to the laundromat, washing clothes in a big wagon, putting all that in the wagon.
But did you tie all the clothes up in a big sheet?
All in a big sheet, balled up in a big sheet with a red wagon that we borrowed from next door because we didn't own a wagon. So
cooking,
but cooking at nine.
Yes, I'm good and grown.
I don't cook.
What?
Okay, but Jay, how old were you when you went to the laundromat?
Come on, man, 11, 12, you know. 11,
and you knew 12. How to separate clothes?
No, nobody separated any damn thing. Just pick three piles and you wash three loads of clothes and wait till they dry and then you bring them
white,
back.
White, blue, black.
Yeah.
Wait till they dry.
you put them in the dryer. What'd you do, Junior?
I didn't ditch a serve. It didn't matter. My
mom. Ditch a serve.
You ain't have no law. What else? I mean, I'm doing mechanical. Help me change this oil. You know, you got to get up under the car with your granddaddy. Yeah. You ain't have no say so.
Your little ass had to unscrew the bolt.
Yeah. I was hanging Christmas lights at six on the house.
Yeah.
Just the front of the house.
On the roof.
First grade, Junior.
Yeah, you had to do it. What you were going to do, say no?
Yeah.
Right.
I do remember doing that.
All I had to do, my sole responsibility, and had to do this, was keep the house clean.
And
I
mean,
clean. Clean.
Mm-hmm. Like what, Shirley?
Not just,
name a
show. No. Oh, I am. I am. I had to. My mother taught me how to make up a bed with hospital corners, all of that.
Girl.
I had to wash walls, scrape the corners out the floor, scrub the floor with my hands and knees, all of that. I had to do all of that.
See, back then, clean the kitchen,
top to bottom.
Back in the day, clean the kitchen means wash the dishes, dry the dishes,
put the dishes away,
yes. Sweep the floor, put the trash in, take the trash out.
Mop the floor. You had to mop the floor.
And clean the stove.
And clean the stove.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the cabinets. If anything got on the cabinets. Yeah. If the refrigerator looked out of whack, you had to do that. You remember defrosting the refrigerator?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Clean the refrigerator. We talked about that, Jay, didn't we?
Well, but if I could get that ice out that deep freeze, if I could scrape that,
I hear you.
Let me talk to Steve.
What's happening, Steve? What happened?
What you had to do?
I was gutting hogs.
You were doing what?
I was gutting hogs.
Okay.
I was gutting hogs.
What you said?
You know, formulating chitlins.
You were formulating chitlins.
Okay.
You know, cutting out pork chops.
You win.
And then right after that, hell, I was chopping cotton. So.
You win.
I don't know what the hell my kids been doing.
You win.
Lucky bastard.
But that's part of the problem, because we have to do all that stuff. Then we wanted our kids to have a different experience.
But we don't expect our kids to do anything.
No,
we don't.
No.
But that's why millennials are so entitled. I slopped hogs.
Mm.
I fed chickens. I took mules down to water.
You grew up on a farm?
I baled hay. And I fed the hunting dogs.
This is in West Virginia?
I had to do you do this before
hunting
you
dogs.
Eat. I had to feed the hunting dogs. You got to do all this before you eat breakfast.
Wow.
Because so they are the reason that you're eating. They eat first because they the reason you got something to eat.
So you
then
take
after
care.
That,
oh, man, I never thought about that.
Then you go eat breakfast.
Yeah.
So what time did you
time
get up?
That?
No, what
at
are you
dawn.
Doing? Morning
yeah,
show.
Uh-huh.
At dawn. I've been getting. I was never the little boy could sleep in late. No. We at dawn.
I'm a morning person too.
And you got to be up at dawn.
No, these kids
on Saturday they sleep till about 2.
They playing games.
Really?
They got games to play. Yeah.
Now I tell you what happened over the weekend.
What?
Marjorie ordered these spinning tops. And these spinning tops are just made out of wood. Remember just how you spin the top? But they get increasingly difficult to where you really have to think of how to make this top spin.
Okay.
My kids were over with the grandkids. None of them get them tops. Well, they got the simple ones, but the difficult one, they were just in there.
The one where you put the string around it and put it on
that. You had to spin it with your hand.
Oh.
But one of them, the last two are very difficult to make spin. So they called me in there. So Marjorie said, Steve, come in here. Can you make this stop? I said, baby, I've been a boy my whole life. My kids in there struggling, throwing them in the air, they falling. I went right over there, leaned it on the table, seen which way it rocked. One hard turn, the thing was up on its point, spinning.
Wow. They're amazed.
And then they couldn't do it because they didn't play. That's all I had to play with.
Yeah.
I had a top. I played with blocks and rolls. That's all I knew how to do. And they were in there, they couldn't get them top spinning. Because they're from a digital. Now, I can't play Madden football.
Give them that, and then, they shine.
Xbox,
yeah, they shine.
I can't play none of that, because I can't figure out Y and A and hold down and press down the G. And
And it looked like a real game to me. I swear it does. It looked like a real game.
They go all out.
Yeah, they go
you
all
can't
out
play games. Xbox, no, but I bet you can make a go-kart out of 2x4s, though.
Hell yeah. Give me some grocery cart wheels.
What?
Yeah. And give me a pair of some rebar from down at the construction site so I can make
come
an
on,
axle.
Baby.
You know what?
Dog, I get some old wagon wheels and some rebar.
Man.
And give me some nails and a couple of ham hooks. And boy, give me some
old
wood.
Skates.
Yeah, some strong rope and a chain. Dog, and I'll make a car.
At least you can make doll clothes if that counts.
Doll clothes.
Doll clothes. Yeah.
I like that.
All right, All right, here we go. It's Monday. Reverend Motown digging Def Jam in the building. Church complaints coming up.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to update you on our national news. Today is Monday, of course. That means it's time for Reverend Motown Deacon Def Jam. Take it away.
Oh, what peace of mind. What joy divine.
Come on here now. Preach one.
You would think that our church would be representative of such a slogan.
That's
But taint.
Excuse me?
Taint. Say it one more time, Pastor.
I say, but taint. Because they so busy complaining about what in the world and hell is going on.
That's
and to lead off their complaints, they have insured the actiriacal behavior.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Antiriacal behavior of Deacon Def Jam.
I don't know what that word means.
He is a procrifinator of it. Def, come on with it.
Pastor, we have here. The first complaint is Sister Rebecca Yvonne Calhoun has a boil on her right butt cheek. The kids keep pushing it like it's a doorbell and screaming ding dong. Lil Ivan Santee was the last to push the boil and it exploded all over him. The boy is traumatized. And the kids keep calling him a puss boy. He's asking that you stop the kids from teasing him.
Wow.
Well, we not going to stop the teasing at the church. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So all that's happening to him is because he pressed Sister Rebecca Calhoun a ball. Now, had he not pressed the ball... there
so
would
stupid.
Not be nothing on him.
That's right. That's right. That's
but
right.
Now it's on him.
Yeah.
And now the lesson has been learned.
Right.
To press, bring out the mess.
Yeah.
And you won't be feeling your best.
Amen.
So now let little nasty ass Ivan deal with being puff boy.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Sister Rachel Fontenot, also known as the Pleasure Cater, she strips during the summer and teaches school during the school year. She's having her last weekend at the Booty Drop Lounge. She's asking that all members come out and support her last dance. Now, Sister Mavis Rollins is saying that this is sinful and we will not support this cause.
What Sister Mavis don't understand is that how you, and let me put it to you this way, at the jack point,
yes,
how you come up with your ties is of little to no concern of ours. The fact that she is a steady tide payer.
That's right, man.
Envelope just be full of sand. We not going to stop this. Now, Sister Mavis ain't got to go.
Yeah. We're not going to
judge. But Delph, me and you, we be down there.
Yeah, we be down there. We not going to judge.
And it's all right. It's all right.
Pastor, the crippled members of the church want a slide outside the church. It will slide them right into the sanctuary and land them on their pews without having to deal with crutches or wheelchairs. The price is $2,500 to install, but the last person to approve this, of course, is you.
Well, that's not going to happen. I've talked to the crippled member ministry before about this. Mm. And the problem with the slide is you got to climb up steps to get to the slide.
Right.
Now, most of the crippled members is overweight.
Can we use the word handicapped? I'm very uncomfortable with the word crippled.
Disabled.
Yes, disabled.
Well, this joke ain't for you. Mm-mm. Now, we not changing it, because at the jackpot
physically
joint, it's a cripple. We ain't talking about physically channeled or handicapped people. We talking about the crippled people at the jackpot joint of Jerusalem. Now, this church ain't real, so you can't hold us
Accountable
to what ain't real.
Finally, the truth.
Yeah, this ain't no real church.
Yeah. It's an imaginary church. Yeah.
Now, the crippled people can't get pushed up the slide because it's up the step. And the last time I helped a crippled person get up on the slide, my fingers got caught in the spokes. And I tore my ring finger off, and I couldn't get my ring off for 6 weeks. And I had to get stitches put on my hand under my ring. So we not having that.
All right.
Like we ain't sliding into the pew. You're going to get rolled in like you've been coming in.
So no handicap slide for this.
No, we not having that. Now, we can put a ramp in, slide down on that.
All right.
The one thing about it, though, when it snow outside, it is nice, though.
What do you mean?
Because we let them use the ramp as a sled. And we don't hold them. We just let them go down there. A couple of them went out the street. Yeah. And his mold damage because the bus.
That could be unsafe. Yeah.
Well, it ain't safe.
Very dangerous.
It's fun for a little while.
For you.
But it's fun for them. They go, woo. They do it, woo. Then when they see the traffic, they go, hold on. And it's too late.
It's too late.
So they go,
down,
hey,
you know it.
Woo.
You know it.
Hold on. Well, you want a slide or what?
All right, Pastor. Sister Fredella Dugas caught her husband, Brother Rory Earl Dugas, kissing Sister Lavincia Collins in the parking lot at the grocery store. Now, after watching them for 30 minutes, they went in the store. She drove her car through the store, taking out the entire produce section, including Brother Rory Earl Dugas. He wants to sue you, Pastor, due to your last sermon, which was entitled, "You can fix your problem if you drive through it."
Huh? What?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
So, Pastor, basically, she's trying to sue you because she thinks your sermon enticed him to drive through the grocery store.
No.
Well, that's absolutely fine. Bring it. Let's go on, go to court, and see how this hold up. Now, Fidelia hadn't have been kissing that woman. But my question is, she had 30 minutes to run them over outside. The hell did she wait till they went in the store for? She sat there for 30 minutes. All that crying and watching it ain't helped nobody. Bust a move as soon as you see it.
Say it again, Pat.
I said bust a move as soon as you see it. What is you waiting and going up in the store? Now you got to injure innocent folk for.
So you said bring it, Pastor. Okay.
Yeah.
Couldn't have my whole lawsuit. You ain't the first person to sue me. You know I don't be successful. You got to come with it.
You got a good lawyer.
My lawyer is the Lord.
Oh, amen.
Well, you know, I'm assuming that the Lord do work in mysterious ways.
Yes, he does, man. Yes,
and that be awful mysterious to me when don't nobody come to court.
All right, guys, we got to go.
Won't he do it?
Yes.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Races rally in Virginia. We talked about this at the beginning of the show. Races rally in Virginia ends in deadly violence. I'm sure you all have heard by now that on Saturday, white supremacists gathered in the city for a rally to condemn a decision by the city to remove a statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee. The city we're talking about is Charlottesville. What happened, according to CNN, counter-protesters met white nationalists and other right-wing groups at the site of Saturday's, they called it the Unite the Right rally. It was an event hours before the rally was set to start.
I've never seen a governor like the governor of Virginia.
He was good, wasn't he?
Talk about an issue like this. I've never heard a politician talk about an issue like this the way I've heard him talk about it.
He was
that
strong with it. He was.
Set
I liked
it up,
what he had
man.
To say. He did, Steve. Clashes broke out. Police began to disperse the crowds. Local officials declared the rally an unlawful assembly. And here it is, Steve. Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe declared a state of emergency. About 2 hours later, a gray Dodge Challenger rammed into a crowd of counter-protesters walking down a street in downtown Charlottesville. Heather Heyer died as a result of this when a driver slammed the car in reverse at high speed and left the site of the crash. The driver has been arrested, thank God, and federal law enforcement authorities.
That footage?
Yeah, it was horrible. Yeah, only 20 years old, too.
No.
What?
No, he's not a kid.
Well.
Yeah. This
is an adult.
He's a grown man.
This
but
trifling
I'm just saying,
trick butthole.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
Redneck hillbilly racist.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But 20 years old,
here.
Very young. Yeah.
But you take this racist mindset. Mm-hmm. This is, I mean, that's what's wrong.
Yeah, it is.
That's what's wrong. It was for me. Now let me. Oh, okay, this is a question.
Okay, yeah.
Let me ask a question to all of you. Did it not seem to you though that it felt good? And this is, I don't want anybody to take it the wrong way. Didn't it feel good to you to see as many non-blacks as you did standing up for the right thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want that to sound wrong. Mm-hmm. But it was
it's an American problem.
Yeah,
it actually
made me feel better to see as many non-African Americans as I saw standing up against this type of
racism,
nationalist, white supremacist stuff. That was really, I don't know the right word.
I know what you're saying. It was gratifying in the fact that it's not a fight that we have to fight alone, racism. We're standing together, and that's what it's going to take in this country.
And it's making it, the glare of it, a lot better. Because now they can't divide it down racial lines.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, the moment it's black against white, then somehow, I don't know how it always happens, but the blacks always be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't make a sign to say Black Lives Matter, because now you wrong for that. Well, Black Lives do matter. But, you know, slogan should have been Black Lives Matter also. But, you know, I think that would have helped us a little bit better. But nevertheless, it was...
that part of it, the mindset... you're saying is starting to change in this country.
To see
like
so
that,
many
yeah.
non-African Americans out there fighting for the right cause was very...
The Department of Justice has started a civil rights investigation. Now let's turn it over to Ms. Ann, Steve.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ms. Ann.
Thank you. And I'm going to kind of get a little deeper than that. Good morning, everybody. This is Antrip with the news. Yes, a vigil was held in Charlottesville, Virginia last night for the young woman run down and killed as she protested the presence of the Klan and other hate groups in her town. 19 other anti-racist protesters were injured. Meanwhile, the suspected driver is to appear in court later on today. James Fields faces second-degree murder charges and some other ones. He's being held without bail while he's also the subject of a federal civil rights investigation. The weekend of protests and violence began Friday night with white nationalists marching through the University of Virginia's campuses carrying torches. Saturday was marked by clashes between white supremacists and those against them. And by 11 a.m., Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe had declared a state of emergency, saying he was disgusted by the hatred, the bigotry, and the violence.
Our message is plain and simple. Go home. You are not wanted in this great commonwealth. Shame on you. You pretend that you're patriots, but you are anything but a patriot.
But the Unite the Rightists didn't leave. They kept up going, making anti-black and anti-Jewish remarks. A few hours later, a car allegedly driven by 20-year-old James Alex Fields of Ohio plowed into the crowd of counter-protesters, killing Ms. Heyer. Meanwhile, lawmakers from President Trump's own party are criticizing his reaction to the violence.
We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides.
It's on many sides. That part got a lot of people kind of upset. The president did not mention by name in any way white nationalists or the Klan. He didn't say domestic terrorism. He didn't say neo-Nazis. None of those groups were fomenting the violence. And Senator Marco Rubio is among a host of top Republicans criticizing that omission. Utah Senator Orrin Hatch says, quote, "We should call evil by its name." By the way, Donald Trump's name was invoked early during that alt-right rally by one of those taking part, former KKK Grand Wizard David Duke, who said this was part of a movement strengthened by the election of the new president.
This represents a turning point for the people of this country. We are determined to take our country back. We're going to fulfill the promises of Donald Trump. That's what we believed in. That's why we voted for Donald Trump, because he said he's going to take our country back, and that's what we got to do.
After Duke's statement, Trump did tweet, quote, "We must all be united and condemn all that hate stands for. There is no place for this kind of violence in America. Let's come together as one." But again, that tweet came after David Duke's statement. During the campaign, you may remember Duke pledged his support to Trump, although Trump claimed not to know who Duke was. Today in the box office, a strange doll was the winner, Annabelle. And today is Left-Handers Day. Yeah, left-handers like me and Steve Harvey and President Obama and my late friend Isaac Hayes. Back to Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we go. Time for the butterfly. Come on, Steve. Introduce Jay, and Jay, you introduce.
Yeah, Steve, you introduce me.
Ladies and gentlemen, the introducer of the butterfly.
Y'all put your hands together for the one and only butterfly.
Oh, my God. I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Jay Anthony Brown. Good morning to you,
you
Steve Harvey.
Happy,
yeah, happy,
Shirley Strawberry, Carla Farrell, and, of course, Tommy and Junior.
Hey,
good morning
butterfly.
To all of you all. It's a beautiful,
morning,
beautiful
butterfly.
Monday.
Morning, butterfly. Flap on.
So, listen, today is about memory. Today is about memory. So I'm going to talk to all of everyone on the show here. How far back can you truly, truly remember? When you go back to...
That'll be good.
This is good. If you go back to, like,
inside,
you know, 10 years old, 7 years old, 5 years old, just how far back can you remember? And what is the memory that you still have in your head from childhood? So we're going to start. Carla?
Four or five.
4 years old. What do you remember at four?
I don't want to talk about it.
You're going to have to.
It was sad. I don't want to talk about it.
It's
sad. Okay, why are you remembering?
My parents got a divorce.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Now, any more questions?
Lord, I didn't mean it. Lord. Okay.
That's what I remember.
Junior, what do you remember?
About three.
Really?
You can go back to three. Yeah. And how old are you right now that you can remember?
Seven.
about three.
Yeah, I'm just saying, how old are you? I forgot.
39.
Now, what do you remember at three?
Getting beat for breaking the lamp.
See, this is a sad segment.
Yes.
No, I do remember. I'm starting to tear up.
I broke the lamp. I pulled it down and tried to hit my sister with it.
I go back further than that.
Come on, J. Anthony Brown.
Inside the womb. I can go back that far.
I can remember being in there now.
Oh, I won't be in here. This is not
another
a good place to be.
In the womb.
The best place to be.
This is cold.
It was cold?
Yes.
What?
I thought you're supposed to be warm.
No, it's not cold.
Yes, with water.
And every now and then something would come in there. I don't know what that was.
Oh, man.
That's that brown lamp.
Kicking in.
Yeah. We're asking him. No.
Come on, Shirley Strawberry. How far back can you remember?
I think I was like 4 or 5. I remember running to my mom. My mom was coming home from work. She was walking down our block, and I remember seeing her and being so happy and running to her and running in her arms. I remember that.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that was, like that. Okay, always that was a beautiful.
That was
a beautiful memory. Yeah,
that was a good.
It's a beautiful
Steve
memory.
Steve Harvey.
Well, I think probably 3. I was living in West Virginia, and I had gotten hold to my father's razor blade.
Mm. At 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, and, children get into
and just
stuff.
Cut
yeah.
my hands all up and
oh,
didn't know it.
This is sad.
And then we're
this
just wiping blood on the wall. It's a sad
scene. We got to go. J. Anthony Brown is up next. He's going to murder another hit. We'll be back.
He's in the world.
Oh, this is
thanks,
so sad.
Butterfly.
Whatever.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Okay, in case you missed it, J. Anthony Brown murdered a hit on Friday,
done.
Right?
It had to be done.
Come on, Jay.
What it had more? To be done, and I've said it once, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it after I say it again. If you are a singer,
uh-huh.
and you're in the news,
yeah.
and you do something stupid,
mm-hmm.
there will be a song about you.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting on another singer to do something stupid.
Well, who's this one?
I don't know. This one is a repeat. This is what this is my man Ara Kelly.
Okay.
Robert. Uh-huh. Steve got his head down. The song is "I Believe I Can Fly,"
but you murdered.
Oh,
it.
It's a little different from the way I put it together. I like to thank my musical director.
Not the shout out. But Jay is really singing on this one.
My musical director, Ralph Hawkins Jr. Here we go. Hit it on the Steve Harvey Morning Show. I used to think my fan base was so strong, but it looks like that I've been proven wrong, and now somehow I just don't feel the love. Who knows, maybe I've lost my Kelly charm. Can't believe it. Look like I blew it. People are saying, so what, we knew it. Something's had said goodbye. Who am I fooling? Yes, I know why. Used to sell out back in the day. Now some fans refuse to pay. They say I locked her behind my door. As I'm saying goodbye, my fans are saying goodbye. Now they made Robert cry. It's not fair the way people beat me, you know. Cause I got hopscotch in front of my house, and I'm keep buying teddy bears. It's not fair. Hello Kitty, swing sets. It's not fair. It's just not fair. Paparazzi taking pictures. Now I'm public enemy.
All right, Jay. Our county officials in
crying.
Yeah, you really sang that one. I have to give you.
That
was really, yeah, that was really,
in.
Yeah,
you
did. But county officials now in Fulton County, Georgia, are calling for a criminal investigation into R. Kelly's alleged Atlanta sex cult. Fulton County Chairman John Eaves claims the Johns Creek Police Department has uncovered new evidence against Kells. Although he wouldn't provide any details, Eaves said it's enough for the DA's office to jump on the case. Kells has adamantly denied the allegations. One of his alleged victims, Joycelyn Savage, maintains that she wants to be with Kelly. Her parents disagree that she is with him willingly and have requested a meeting with R. Kelly in Atlanta when he does a concert there on August 25th. Ooh, the clock is ticking.
But so, you know, it's the same thing that people who are in cults, they say the same thing. You know, we're fine, we're okay,
yeah,
leave
do.
Us alone.
Yes. They do it's say that.
Said,
yeah. And this
that
is true. This is an alleged what? Mm. Sex cult.
Mm. Yeah, but look, I'm asking a question.
Okay, all right.
Did the DA pick it up? They say they found the
evidence. They're saying it's enough. It's enough evidence to jump on the case. They're definitely looking into
they're
it now.
They're saying that yes. they should. Mm. I'm not going to rush to judgment here. I'm going to wait and see what this is because I know how the media works.
Mm-hmm.
And now if he's guilty of something, he got to pay.
Mm-hmm.
But if he ain't done nothing, if he's got all these grown people around him, now sound crazy? Yeah.
Side eye. Coming up next, Nephew Tommy has a prank phone call. That's coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, today's strawberry letter. We'll get into that. But up next, Nephew Tommy's prank phone call. Nephew, you're up.
Carla, this go out to you and all the cheerleader mamas out there.
Oh. What you got?
Bottom of the pyramid.
Let's go. Cheer season is coming up. Let's do it.
Bottom of the pyramid. Here it is.
Hello?
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 Yeah, can you hear me? I'm trying to reach Angela. Angela.
Hang on just a second. Let me turn it down. Okay, hi. Who are you trying to reach?
I'm trying to reach Angela. Is this Angela?
Oh, yeah, this is she.
Hi, Angela. This is Chip. Chip, I'm the new camp director for the cheerleading camp for the summer.
Oh, hi, Chip. What can I do for you?
Just wanted to give you a courtesy call. Your daughter, you got her signed up for 4 weeks with the camp, right?
Yep. For June. Okay. Yep.
This is you guys' third year being a part of the camp?
Yep, and she's really excited. She loves coming to the camp, and we think it's a great thing for her to be involved in. What's up?
Okay, you guys just finished the whole cheerleading season, too. Am I right? The competition season?
Yes, just coming off of that.
Right. Okay, well, we're getting ready for the summer, and everybody's excited about coming out and being a part of what's going on. So here's what I wanted to give you a little bit. Like I said, I'm the new camp director. I was just starting this job. I got a few notes that were given to me about so I wanted to give you a call and see if I could talk to you about it.
A few notes given to you about
Yeah, just a couple of notes. I don't think it's anything that we can't make sure is okay.
What kind of notes?
Well, it's been brought to my attention that some of the parents whose daughters are out there as well, they're going to be there this summer, are a little concerned about her being on top of the pyramid, that she's Is she a little heavy? Should she?
Wait. Ho. You calling me about some other parents and said about how big my child is or how much my child weighs? Is that what you're calling me about?
What I wanted to let you know is we're going to put as a base or
No, you ain't going to put no base. I done already paid my money. And what you say your name is? Chip? And how long have you been the director? Because I was just up there 2 weeks ago, and they told me that she was going to be in the same position that she was last year because that is what worked. That's the formation that worked. So I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, supposedly some of the girls are complaining that she's too heavy to hold up. So that seems to be the problem in there. They're not getting a strong enough pyramid. And I'm going
now,
to take
wait a
look
minute. Wait a minute. I know well she ain't the biggest one out there. Have you been out there? My child is not the biggest child out there. When did you start? Because obviously you have not seen these cheerleaders. It is some baby sumos out there.
Okay, hang on a second. Angela, I want you to calm down a bit.
No, ain't nobody going to calm down because I done already paid my money, and this that I be talking about. What parents? What parents done said something? Is it Carrie?
Ma'am, I'm not going to state who it is, but let's just say it was several.
These parents that's got something to say about my child and her position on the cheerleading squad? Because if you ain't finna fuck up no name, then I don't understand what you calling me about. I tell you one thing: when she get out there, I done paid my money. She better not be on no base. She better be in the air. I guarantee you that. Right now, I've been hanging with these
Angela,
said nothing to me about and her
Angela.
Weight and all this.
Okay, Angela, can you hear me? I just wanted you to hear me clearly.
What
I haven't seen these young ladies yet. Once I see them, I will critique what I think.
Well, then you don't even need to be calling me because you ain't even seen nothing. So you calling me with some he said she from some other parents that's been skinning and grinning in my face, and they now one of these saying nothing to me. They done been in my house. We done had parties over here with this competition every weekend, every other day, and they couldn't say nothing to me about my baby. I tell you what, why don't you call your girls on the three-way, Mr. Chip? If you can't call them on the three, never mind, I got them numbers. I call them on the three-way.
Okay. Look, ma'am, all I wanted to do is make you aware of the possibility that she may be a back.
Well, thank you. You have made me aware, and I guarantee you that if I bring my big yellow ass up there and come to the practice, I guarantee you she won't be no base. How much you want to bet on that, Mr. Chip?
Look, you're going to quit hollering at me. And I told you I would try to take a look at these girls, but I tell you what, your daughter's going to be a base or she's going to be a back support, whichever I decide she's going to do.
Who in the do you think you hollering at, Mr. Chip?
That's not how this is going to go down.
As a matter of fact, Ms. Chip, are you at the registration table today?
I'm here now while people are registering. Yes, I am.
Let me turn this around. I tell you what, I'm on my way up there. Why don't you and them parents that's been complaining, why don't all y'all come to the table and we're going to have come to Jesus meeting about where going to be for this coming up season? Because I'm not going to tolerate this. I done told you, I done paid my money, and this high is going down.
Has gained weight.
What is it to you whether gained weight or not? What does that have to do with her cheerleading?
Do you agree that probably bigger than most of the girls on the team?
It's not bigger than most of the girls on the team. Monique's daughter is bigger than, and she wasn't no base last year. They hiked up up, so she's gonna get up too. We all just gonna be big and plump up in the air. I done turned around and I'm headed to your little treasure table,
okay,
so you better be ready.
Before you get here, there's something else I need to tell you.
You ain't gotta tell me a thing. All you gotta do is have you and the parents around that table when I get there, because I'm on my way up there right now. Then y'all can say all y'all gotta say in my face.
Okay, well, I wanna, before you get here, I just wanna let you know. This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey.
Who this is on this phone? Wait. Hold on. What did you just say?
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Oh. I'll be God. Oh, Lord. Who put you
on? Rochelle. There's another parent named Rochelle. She told me y'all are good friends out there.
So she want a prank call, huh? All right, we're going to see. The season starts. I'm going to hide her daughter uniform. She ain't going to be able to perform. A fat will be looking for hers. How about that? Since y'all want a prank call me?
Oh, man. Hey, let me ask you something, baby. What is the baddest, the baddest radio show in the land?
None other than the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Carla, your little girl at the top of the pyramid, though, ain't she?
Not anymore. She's tall. So okay. she's a back spot. She's a base. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So she would be the one holding up the flyer. Yeah.
And that's the person that everybody don't want you to drop their baby.
Yeah, but they need to watch the weight.
Okay.
Yeah.
See right there.
Somebody got to be the base.
Yes.
And somebody got to be the fly.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, your baby can't be the fly.
Yeah.
Because we ain't got nobody want to be the base. Because when she go
used
up.
She to be the base because she's the tallest. She was one of the raw ones. Yeah.
But if your baby 150.
Yeah, that baby need on the bottom.
Yeah.
Your baby need to be on the bottom.
Yeah, your baby on the bottom. Yeah, because when you throw the big baby up, the other little kids clear out. Everybody clear out. Maybe just come down and splash.
No. Incoming.
First of all, he ain't going up that high. That's first thing. He ain't going up that high.
The first it ain't that high, so they coming right back.
Tasha doesn't have that problem.
But I done seen some girls get dropped. That is not a good look.
No, it's not.
Look, if you big,
they can get hurt. Yeah, they can get hurt like that.
Look, we can take that approach to it, but let's just go and stay on it where it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
If your baby big, ain't nobody tossing her.
Yeah.
Tossing big baby.
We can't get her up nowhere.
Thick. If you thick, you ain't supposed to be
a
fly.
We might take on the seventh floor
if you big boned it, you not the one that's going to get tossed. We want that little light ass girl.
That's the one.
Skin and bones. Toss her up there, she come back down, one of us can catch her.
And we really don't care about your baby getting mad.
Yeah. Everybody give a damn. But she want her turn to fly.
Yeah.
Yeah, your big ass don't get a turn to fly.
But it be some thick babies want to be on top, though.
Yeah, hell yeah. I wanted to be on top one time. You can't. Ain't no more top.
Oh, Steve. Yeah. Oh, this happened to Tasha. And this big girl was mad because Tasha couldn't hold her up. And Tasha said, Mommy, my wrist is hurting.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right. Up next, we have this crazy strawberry letter, of course. But first, now this is according to Bloomberg. Weddings in state where marijuana is legal, like California, the state we're in, they're now including bud tenders serving up different strains of marijuana instead of having a bartender serving up booze.
They come fix it for you?
Yeah.
They roll? Legal.
Yeah. These bud tenders will roll for customers and advise them on the strain they want. They also might help with vaporizers, glass pipes, bongs, edibles, cannabis cocktails, depending on, you know, depending on what the
where
couple.
Where it's legal at, right?
Yeah, what the couple wants and where it's legal.
They bring the brownies to you?
So I heard out at a marijuana pool. There was one going on where it was a marijuana pool
party. Were you there?
Yes, I was there.
Okay.
I was there.
At a marijuana pool
it was
party.
A marijuana pool party.
Okay.
It was the best. It was unbelievable.
What happened?
Nobody was in the water.
They didn't want their weed wet.
Yeah. Nobody
got in the water.
Because they scared.
And they didn't want their weed wet. But a good time was had by all. You know, nobody wanted to wet their weed or weeds.
Or weeds, yeah.
But Jay, don't they get paranoid when they be hiding?
Oh, my God.
That water?
I see a shark in the pool.
In a swimming pool? At your house?
It was so much fun, yes. A good time had by all. But in the states where it's legal, yeah, they're doing that, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, Junior, if you get married in L.A.
Yeah, or Denver. You,
or Colorado, you can have a bud
party.
Tender if you wanted to. I'm just saying, if you wanted to.
Junior's sick ass don't need none of that.
Yes, Junior.
Anybody who marries Junior is going to be high any damn way.
This is not new news, though. This is not new news.
I thought this was new.
No, that's not new news. They had bud tenders. They just don't have the table. Because you're going to see my cousin running around the corner. They rolling the same damn joint. It don't matter. Yeah. They passing them out after everybody.
They just put a fancy name
on it. They put a fancy name, too. But his name is him over there.
There you go.
Yeah, that's his name.
It's a time. Buckle up. Hold on tight, y'all. This is a good one. Strawberry letter. 23.
Oh, boy, just the title, Homewrecker from Hell. Hi, Steve and Shirley. I really need your help. I'm a married mother of three. My husband and I have been together for almost 20 years. Everything is fine, except the fact that my husband recently had an affair. He confessed and totally regrets what he has done. However, the low-life homewrecker won't leave him alone. She is stalking him in every possible way she can. She also claims that she is pregnant, but from what I've heard, it could be between three men. This disgrace of a woman is wretched and skanky. She has two children and a low-paying job and struggles with her bills. Therefore, she is chasing my husband for his money. I'm trying to be mature and level-headed, but things are going to get out of hand if she doesn't back off. What shall I do? Well, you know what? I say you've done a lot already, just by mere virtue of the fact that you took your husband back after an affair. That's big. Okay, you've done a whole lot right there. Now you want things to go back the way they were, back to norm. And, you know, she might be all those things you say she is, a low life. She might be skanky, wretched, and all that. But the fact of the matter is that your husband was with her, okay, this skanky woman. So everything is not fine in your marriage. And I think your husband really needs to step up here since he confessed and make sure that you and your husband, you and your home, I mean, are protected. You know, if this woman is stalking, you know, my suggestion is restraining order on this woman. Steve?
What was that?
I don't. You all right?
I really don't. Come on, this is your kind of topic right here.
It's kind of crazy.
Husband and I have been together for almost 20 years. Everything is fine, except the fact that my husband recently had an affair. I think she meant to say everything was fine until her husband recently had an affair. He confessed and totally regrets what he has done. That's very possible. A lot of times when men mess up, that the thought of losing what really matters does make them have deep remorse and deep regret. That's a very true statement in a lot of cases.
After 20 years, yeah.
However, here we go. Mm-hmm. The lowlife home wrecker won't leave him alone. She's stalking him. She also claims that she's pregnant. It's a weird line. But from what I've heard, it could be between three men. Okay, now, you know the circle she run in?
Interesting, huh?
How do you know the circle she run in?
Wow, interesting.
See, you know, if this is a stranger across town, or do y'all all live in the same complex? This disgrace of a woman is wretched and skanky. I tried looking up skanky on the computer, Monica from Mississippi. Try to pull up skanky and see what you come up with. And then give me the definition of wretched. So we can find out just how stank she is. Because I'm not familiar with skanky. I'm only familiar with stanky.
Wow.
See, I know what stanky is.
Skanky might be to another level.
Right. And I just need to know what level we're talking about. She got two children and a low-paying job and struggles with her bills. Therefore, she's chasing my husband for his money. Mm. Oh, that's what you think it is. Mm-hmm. Well, I have some other things in my head that maybe what was going on. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you what those are. I'm trying to be mature and level-headed about things, but they're going to get out of hand if she don't back off. What shall I do? Well, when I come back, I'm going to focus on the things are going to get out of hand if she doesn't back off. What shall I do? That sounds like a definitive statement to me. That things gonna get out of hand if she don't back off. What shall I do? It sounded to me like you need some advice on when it get out of hand, how should you get it out of hand? When we come back, that's what I'm here for.
All right, we'll have part two of Steve's response coming up at 23 sure after the hour. Let's go. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Wednesday on NBC, don't miss the premiere of the new comedy Marlon, loosely inspired by Marlon Wayans' real life, the beautiful Essence Atkins. Co-stars as Marlon's ex-wife, Ashley. Together, they're doing their best to co-parent two kids after divorce. Trust me, you have never seen fatherhood done the Marlon way. Marlon is unpredictable, outrageous, and a whole lot of funny, exactly what you'd expect from Marlon Wayans. You won't want to miss the hilarious premiere of Marlon Wednesday after America's Got Talent on NBC.
Coming up at 41 after the hour, we're going to talk about the NFL. We're going to talk about Beast Mode, Marshawn Lynch from the Raiders, and Ezekiel Elliott from the Dallas Cowboys. They're in the headlines today. But right now, come on, Steve, with part two of your response to today's Strawberry Letter.
Skank. In the letter, she said, this disgrace of a woman is wretched and skanky. I have pulled the definition of skank. Mm-hmm. Off the computer, thanks to Monica from Mississippi. She uses it all the time in describing her friends. And she be joking with them. Yeah,
that's
but
awful.
She jokes with them, but that's what she...
That's wretched.
She called it, you skanky little heifer. And then they laugh. So, according to Webster, or the dictionary online, skanky is an adjective.
It's descriptive.
Yeah. Skankier and skankiest.
Oh, really?
You would not want to be the skankiest.
Like, she's skankier than her. Yeah, but she's the skankiest of them all.
Right. It's slang. It means dirty or unattractive. Mm-hmm. And number two, promiscuous. Oh. That is skank. You're just nasty and everywhere with it. Mm-hmm. You just spreading it around like air freshener. You just got your finger on the damn button.
So you're going to give the rest of your response?
How much of your can you going to empty out today? I'm answering this question right here. things gonna get out of hand if she don't back off. What shall I do?
Music.
Skank. Recognize Skank. Crackheads only sleep with other crackheads. See, if you're not on crack, the crackhead lifestyle is a bit much for you. Crackheads only sleep with crackheads. That's why I think Skank recognized Skank. Which, ma'am, you have another problem. Because if she is so dirty and unattractive and so promiscuous, what is your man over there for in the first place? Yes. Could it be that your man is Skank too? Ooh. Now, let's try to help you out. You say now this woman is stalking him because she's after his money. I want to offer another suggestion.
What?
Maybe your man was out there really bringing it. I mean, he was out there with the little skank being the skankiest of the two. I just learned this word today. And I'm going to use it in a sentence. Maybe your husband was being the skankiest of the two and was really bringing out the skankness of her and him. Maybe that's why she followed him around. Because she ain't been skanked that bad or that good in her whole life. Also, you going to let things get out of hand and you trying to figure out what to do? Look here. Call her and tell her that your husband has the silent version of the swine flu. That she is slowly leaving here right now. Keep spreading these rumors. You're going to have more than a baby. You're going to have a funeral. If that don't work, bust out her apartment windows with a brick with a note tied to it. What's on the note? It's me, Skank.
All right, we have to go. Thank you, sir, very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I'll be here all week.
Enjoy your dinner.
Email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at My Girl Shirley. And don't forget, this coming Thursday, the countdown has begun. I will start doing my Facebook Live after show. Email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at My Girl Shirley. And don't forget, this coming Thursday, the countdown has begun. I will start doing my Facebook Live after show Strawberry Letter. Wow. So I want, everybody join me at you can find me at My Girl Shirley or Shirley Strawberry on Facebook. But it's going to be after the show. We'll talk about that particular day's letter, anything you want to talk about relationship-wise, whatever you want to talk about, we'll be there this Thursday at 1
Can
o'clock.
Can you curse on this? I think you'll be able to curse the internet.
I don't want to come if I can't curse.
You don't curse on the air.
You can curse on the internet.
Anyway. Let it out.
I know it is, but you don't curse on the air, so don't curse.
Well, if I'm coming over there, I'm cursing.
Most podcasts curse, though.
1 p.m. Eastern time this coming Thursday.
They curse on the Foxhole. That's serious radio.
Oh, yeah, they do. But I do want you guys to join me when you have time.
Absolutely.
It'll be fun.
To leave right after.
I know. What a bad idea this was. I'm sure I'll find myself saying that. 1 o'clock Eastern time this coming Thursday. We'll start it, okay?
Shirley, your Facebook Live is going to be really good because, first of all, people will get to see her and you'll actually get to have live comments. So you can have like an open forum, like a discussion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So this Facebook Live, I want you all to join in. Because it's like, what time again?
It's 1 p.m. Eastern on Thursday.
1 p.m. Eastern. That's like on your lunch.
Yeah, you can. Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
I'll just come on trip on your lunch.
And people are always coming up to me.
How long is it going to be for, an hour? You doing
an hour? No, we're not doing an hour. We're going to start with 15 minutes, to 30. Okay. Yeah, we're going to build it.
Well, we can take up 5 minutes of that straight cussing.
Give us the cussing five. Just give us that. Give
you
us
have
the
more
cussing
people
five.
Tuning in.
Oh, if you cuss. But you know how it is. People are always, oh my God, I should write you a letter. They're always telling me that.
Yeah, this
so this
great.
Is a place for it.
This is definitely a place for that. 1 p.m. Eastern this coming Thursday. It'll be our first one. My assistant Star will be there to help me with all the names and everything. So it'll be fun. You guys, please
join
me. And from
1:30 to 1:35 is the cussing time.
It ain't like y'all working any damn way.
The truth about the letter is at 4:30 to 1:35.
What I really want to say to these people, right? All right. Coming up at 41 after the hour, we're going to talk about the NFL. Like I said, Beast Mode and Marshawn Lynch from the Raiders, Ezekiel Elliott from the Dallas Cowboys. They're in the headlines. We'll talk about that right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, 8:41. Coming up at the top of the hour, Power TV Show Update with Steve Harvey.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Did you see it, Steve?
Hell no.
But the update.
Hell no. I ain't ever seen it.
Well, you got the update
for seen
you.
It. You know Ghost and
Shirley, I've
50
never
cent.
Seen Power. Okay. I've never seen the cast. If you stood the cast here, I would not know.
Omari Hardwick has been on the show, Steve.
Yeah, he's
been on your talk show.
Yeah, he's been on my talk show.
But you never seen the show.
And Tommy, too.
But I've never seen the show.
I shouldn't say Tommy, but that's his character.
No, but I've never seen the show. I love Omari Hardwick, but I've never seen the show.
Yeah. Well, you're so busy.
I love 50, but I ain't never seen the show. Yeah. I can't watch TV.
It's such a good
50
show.
50 clowning over there, boy. 50 clowning.
Man, woo! I was off this weekend, man. It's going to be great. Later on today, man, I'm in Sayre's Golf Tournament today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
Playing in Sayre's Golf Tournament.
Is it a charity event?
Yeah. What else?
Benefiting.
We don't play good enough. People pay to watch it. I tell you right now, when I step up to the tee box, you know how they have people lying down the green, clear. Yeah, but this one might come straight. This one might not be but 6 feet high.
Wow.
I'm talking about scorching.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, here we go. Like I said, Power TV Show Update coming up. But first, Steve, a year ago, Colin Kaepernick began his protest against racial injustice by remaining seated during the national anthem. And on Saturday, Marshawn Lynch, Beast Mode, did the same thing before the Raiders' first preseason game against the Arizona Cardinals. Lynch sat through the national anthem and ate a banana. According to the CBS.
Okay.
Yeah. We do need to let that marinate
for just a moment.
The banana
was in there? Really? He ate a banana?
Yeah.
He sat through the national anthem and ate a banana.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I didn't even know he was back.
Yeah,
no,
he's
he
out of
just
retirement.
Got back.
He just got back.
I did not even know he was back.
He going back, though.
Yeah.
Why not? No.
With the quickness.
Let me just say this, though. Nobody said nothing.
Nothing.
They didn't say nothing. Because you know why? You don't want to talk to Marshawn Lynch. This ain't he ain't
but
got
But you
it.
Know what? What he did he different. Do it in protest, or he just sit down and eat a banana?
Hungry.
What you down for?
See, Marshawn a little different.
Yeah.
Yes, Beast Mode.
See, run this may not thing. Have been nothing about the protest.
Okay, this is according to CBS News. That's funny, Steve.
He just wanted that banana.
He was hungry.
This by banana.
Marshawn vacated the locker room before reporters were allowed entry, so he did not explain why he chose to sit down.
He doesn't talk to the media.
Okay, so Saturday night marked his first game with his home team, the Raiders. As we know, Colin Kaepernick remains unsigned. Now, in other NFL news, Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott is likely to appeal his 6-game suspension tomorrow. Elliott has until Wednesday to file an appeal. Elliott was suspended on Friday for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. There was a 13-month investigation into whether he committed domestic violence against his former girlfriend. Elliott was notified Friday by the NFL that he will be suspended without pay for the team's first 6 regular season games.
That one is a little sketchy.
It's great.
Because he was found not guilty.
Not guilty.
Not enough charges. Mm-hmm. His girlfriend told him it didn't happen and everything. And so he did not do it.
And why did they take
He hasn't been charged with a crime.
So why didn't
no. No,
and this happened a year ago.
Uh-huh.
And they did
yes,
they went
did.
Through everything. Witnesses, conversations. They pulled up everything. And the police and the DA said, we have nothing here.
But the league deemed the evidence substantial and persuasive. As of now, he said
the league is bogus and fake.
That's Goodell. That's who that is.
Goodell thinks that shield is big. The reason Colin Kaepernick isn't playing today has nothing to do with the flag.
Mm-hmm.
It has everything to do with that NFL shield.
Say that.
Because he keeps making that bigger than the issue. the young man had a right to protest. The way he chose to protest mm-hmm. was a little sketchy because he didn't explain the protest before he did
Until
it.
Until afterwards.
If he said, I'm going to kneel for racial injustice, it would have been okay. But you got all the military men out there with that flag mm-hmm. unfurled, mm-hmm. and that created the, oh, my God, he's not standing in one of our patriotic countries.
Yeah, he's being disrespectful.
No, man. The dude just did it. And then he comes back with the Fidel Castro Malcolm X T-shirt.
That didn't help.
Mm-hmm. That ain't help.
Yeah.
And the dude just keeps doing stuff, and now they got him blackballed mm-hmm. and because of that shield. Yeah. The same thing is, now the thing about Marshawn is, Marshawn ass don't talk nobody explain nothing.
In the first place.
Yeah. This may not have been a protest it of wasn't. Any kind. It's
but
just Marshawn just sat down and had a banana.
Yeah. During the national anthem.
But for
why? Why a banana?
Yeah, I know. You know I was going to say an
you
orange.
You already know what that is.
Apple.
Yeah.
Some grapes.
Yeah. Why not some grapes?
Some damn jelly beans.
Yeah, but here go Marshawn thinking. He thinking don't nobody see him. Sitting down on the bench.
How you gonna see the blackest man on the team eating a banana?
That's his thing.
Sitting down.
And then he explains it with, what you looking at me for? That's
it. Yeah.
That's how Marshall, what you looking at me for?
Mm. Mm.
Now, it might not have been the best thing for him to do.
No.
Yeah. Did they win?
No. I
think they lost that game.
Now, he'll be standing the next game. Because he was just a preseason game. Oh, he'll be standing. He just, my bad. I just wasn't paying
attention.
He'll
be standing, but both feet will be
flat. Yeah, I ain't played in a year.
But during the national anthem, though.
Man.
Well, can I tell you? Huh? Okay, no, I can't tell
you. Ask it in a question.
You might be able to ask,
ask it in a question form. No, he can't ask that in a question.
Well, at Kent State in the 70s, as a protest to racial injustice, African-American students at the games, football, basketball, that we all sat in the same section.
Mm-hmm.
And during the national anthem, we remained seated as protests and everywhere. Mm-hmm. And we just sat. No disrespect. Didn't nobody boo or nothing. Mm-hmm. We didn't talk. Mm-hmm. We just sat there in silence.
That's like those athlates at the Olympics at that time.
They
raised their fists.
Like this,
yeah, when they raised their fists.
But
in
eating
the air.
A banana is not a good look.
No. It's not. I mean, we.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we go. Before we get to the Power update, Carla, what is going on with the two remaining episodes of Power? We got to do the update with Steve. And the two remaining episodes, did it get leaked on Facebook? We've heard this. Now, what happened?
Yeah, somebody, the Stars Network is saying that somebody leaked. They had access to their servers and things like that. So they leaked the last two remaining episodes of Power on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And so you talk about spoiler alert.
Anybody but 50.
Well, have you found out? You know what happened, Carla? You know.
Well, 50 is saying that Stars is saying that he did it because of what happened with, you guys remember not too long ago with Game of Thrones?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Some of their episodes got leaked and then their ratings went up. So 50 is saying that Stars is saying, well, you probably did it to try to duplicate what happened with the Game of Thrones thing. But 50 said he didn't do it.
But the numbers still high for Power, right? They still go
Yeah,
up.
The ratings are still good.
Power's on point.
And aren't they but at Stars odds? Aren't they at they odds? 50 and Stars, the network, aren't they?
Yeah, there's been some issues to talk about the show and renewing the show. And so we'll see. But Stars says they will, you know, take legal action against whoever they find out leaked these episodes.
Oh, now they care about Power.
It's 50.
When they find out who it is, it's no money in it.
They're not going to. Oh, okay.
You can pursue that all you want. It's like the guy that leaked the whole season of Thunderdome.
What? Oh, that happened to you too, Steve?
They did it on ABC.
Oh, yeah.
But he was a disgruntled Disney employee and he got ticked. And that was the new summer hit that they wanted.
And your numbers are
and
still
so
good. Said,
and then we were still number one in all the time slots.
Oh, yeah.
Well, look at there.
What you got to look at is like this. The way the social media is now on the internet, it is not going to affect television. People are all over the place watching stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get a huge number on television anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
so when you leak
it's
it online,
game is
people who are online don't watch TV and people that watch TV ain't online. You can't do both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked out. We still number one.
Right. It was a win.
Congrats to you.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, okay, so Power, last night.
Woo!
It was good.
You know what? Can I just say this?
You start with
Can
man.
I just say
what?
This right here? You guys told me last week nothing happened. Come to find out, homegirl is sleeping with the lawyer. You didn't tell
me that.
Tasha,
yeah, Tasha, ghost wife.
Say that.
Ghost wife is sleeping with the lawyer.
She was naked, too. Her whole areola.
Oh, areola, what?
Oratory, whatever you call that thing.
Areola, you
well,
said
see, but Ghost breasts. Been cheating on her the whole time. Mm-hmm. But how long do you think you can just keep stepping on these women like
That's
this,
what
man?
I was going right. to say, Steve.
Woman
right.
ain't finna sit up in
You're
here
right.
and just take this, you know?
That's right. And That's right, yeah. Steve.
But so she hadn't broke him out since he'd been out of jail, right?
No. She was struggling.
No. He did give her a ring, though.
He gave her a ring, and he still didn't get nothing?
No.
Well, that was the Kobe ring.
Explain that, Steve. What does that mean?
Well, they call it the Kobe ring now. That's what it is. And no disrespect, because I love Kobe Bryant, but they do call it the Kobe ring.
When you do something wrong, a nice ring?
Yeah, rich white women right now call it the Kobe ring.
When you mess up real bad.
Yeah, all overseas, everywhere I go. When
it's
they
Kobe ring.
When they had these huge rings, and they said, oh, I got a Kobe ring.
I mean, the man been cheating.
Yeah, he did something he had to make good.
Well.
Like a nice Kobe watch. That's all I can afford you, Kobe.
Kobe I like Kobe beef. That's all.
Kobe what?
I had Kobe beef hot dog.
Well, finally, Sandoval is dead.
Oh my God.
And you know who next?
Who's next?
Proctor is next.
Proctor lied about the laptop, destroying the laptop to Tommy and Ghost.
Yep.
So what do you think is going to happen, Steve, with the whole
thing? He ain't seen it.
Hold up, partner.
Did I
segment.
Not tell you? Did I tell you they were going to get killed?
You did.
Yeah, you said
you
it.
Did.
I personally asked you about Sandoval last week.
Yes.
And I said he's going to get killed because he know too much.
Uh-huh. You did say that?
Now, guess what?
And he did it.
And guess what?
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 The dude that did it, going to do it again.
Wait a minute. Say that again one more time.
The dude that y'all don't know did it, that did it, going to do it again. I'll be dead.
That's what we're going to be saying right there. The whole twist to the whole thing with Sandoval is Angela and the part that she played in getting Sandoval killed was smooth because she had to protect herself based on what Sandoval was saying. So Tommy calls his daddy in prison to do
I can't believe that's his daddy. I was passing the phone back and forth.
It's Tommy's daddy. Mm-hmm.
That's his dad. You got to catch up. That is his dad.
I'm trying to.
Yes. So Tommy called his dad, asked his dad to do him a solid favor. Didn't have to explain what it was. Dad said, you family, took care of it.
And but, just for Shirley, he's from Shawshank Redemption. Just for Shirley, he's from over there.
The dad is. Yes.
Starring Morgan Freeman.
But we got to get back. We got to get Steve back. So, Steve, now what do you think is going to happen?
Well, here's the deal.
Be quiet.
I want to ask you something specific.
Okay, cool. Okay. Now, Will. But the dude that's in prison, Tommy's daddy, that's in prison.
Yeah.
That just like in real life, you know, they call shots from prison out on the street. And Angela was a willing participant in this whole thing to set up Sandoval because it got her out of hock.
That's right.
Because she was up in the middle of this mess.
No, he didn't see it.
He watches it.
He didn't see it.
I ain't watching nothing. I'm just telling you, it's a story. What else they going to tell? They got to tell a story. I'm a story specialist.
But why you seem like you know it, though? It seems like
because
you watch
Tommy, that's how I do, dog. You ain't got to watch all these.
Okay, so what about Tariq, though? His son's in hot water right now.
His ass is in trouble. Now, what you expect? His daddy ain't nothing. you know, all these fathers that be going to prison and doing dirt and stuff, and then your son following your footsteps, what you want?
Yeah.
Now, Tariq gonna mess around, but what's gonna happen, though? Something gonna happen to Tariq before it happened to Ghost, and then Ghost gonna have a change of heart, and he gonna want revenge. Because somebody gonna do something to Tariq.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be
probably
funky,
be
man.
Brains. It's gonna be brains. Oh, Big Country.
Now, Brains ain't gonna do it. It's gonna be the dude that killed Sandoval. Like I just told y'all, it's going to be the dude that did it that y'all don't know did it going to do it again. The dude that did it that y'all don't know did it going to do it again, and that's the dude that killed Sandoval.
We got to go. We'll be back.
He been watching this.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Tom Cruise in the news. 55-year-old Tom Cruise, have a seat. Tom Cruise may seem invincible in those Mission Impossible movies because, you know, he does all his own stunts.
He tries to do all his own stunts.
Yeah, and he's 55 now.
He looks fantastic.
A crazy stunt got the better of him this time around while filming Mission Impossible 6. On Sunday morning. Now, this is according to TMZ, and you know they always get it right. Mm-hmm. Tom Cruise, who prides himself, again, like we said, on doing a lot of his own stunt work, was trying to leap. Now, picture this now. He's trying to jump off a platform onto the roof of a building.
Wow.
Ah, but he came up just a little short. Then he crashed into the side of the building instead of landing on top of it. Wow. Ouch, ouch.
I've watched every one of those shows. I love them.
Mission Impossible, they're good.
Can I tell you something?
What, Steve?
His ass was surprised.
Yeah. You're right, Steve, because he attempted to go on with the scene. The show must go on. But he was limping so badly that crew members had to help him off the set.
I can tell you who ain't doing no damn stunts. Ving Rhames' fat ass ain't doing no damn stunts. I can tell you where the beef is. He eating all the beef. His fat ass.
Where's the beef?
Arby's has the beef. He ain't jumping off nothing.
I like them commercials. Arby's has the meat.
Those are great commercials.
Mission Impossible movies. That's right.
Always. So there's no word on the extent
Ving
of Tom
and
Cruise's
Steve.
Injury.
Don't, Steve don't do stunts.
No.
You don't do any stunts?
Nah, I can't do no stunts. I got a heel injury right now. I've been wearing flip-flops for 3 days. I don't even know how I hurt my heel.
Wow. Yeah. Really?
Nothing?
You're working out, though. You didn't strain anything?
Yeah, I strained the bottom of the hip. Man, can I tell you what happened? I went to...
Yeah.
You know, my drive a little bit different, right? Uh-huh. So I told him, I came out of meeting Friday. I said, hey, man, find a place, a foot store. I'm going to buy me a couple of heel cushions and a heel cup. I went online research. Yeah, all right, man. He said, I found a place for you. Mm-hmm. So he takes me to the place. He said, boy, it's on second floor. So he goes up there with me. And I discovered that we're in a medical building. I said, well, maybe the store is inside the place. I go up in here. I'm in a damn doctor's office.
Podiatrist.
Listen, I'm in a doctor's office by accident. And I'm standing there, and I'm looking at the people. This just happened to me Friday. And the lady goes, oh, my God, Steve Harvey. Welcome to doctor, whatever the guy's name is. Nice guy. And they're meeting him, you know. I said, no, listen, I just wanted to buy him. And then boss could clearly say, boss, they told me I can get anything I want out of here.
Why do you talk like that when you mention Cliff?
Don't Cliff talk like that?
Well, he has a slave tone.
No!
He has a slave tone.
Say that, Steve.
Well, I'm just telling you, he's a great guy. Best dude I know.
Oh, he got a slave tone when he
But he has a slave tone. So I'm talking, and I'm telling the lady. So the lady goes, well, just sign it. Mr. Harvey, we can take you right away. There was some other people in there. The people, they got tight. Mm-hmm. And so they gave me an iPad because at this doctor's office, you don't write nothing. Mm-hmm. But I haven't filled out doctor paperwork in years because whenever I have to go to the doctor, my assistant goes ahead of me, fills out all the paperwork. I just walk in. Mm-hmm. You know, Megan's been doing this for me for years. Mm-hmm. So now I'm sitting down. They give me an iPad. And they tell me you got to sign in with your finger on the iPad. So I wrote it. It didn't look nothing like my signature. And then she said, well, press continue. Now, fill out this whole thing. So I'm trying to answer your question with my finger, but ain't nothing coming up. Mm-hmm. So I look at the dude next to me, and he's typing all his answers in. So I had to look over there and see what he did, and I hit that little button, and then the keyboard came up. I said, okay. So I typed in all of it. The most painful shot I've ever gotten in my life, and I'll tell you.
Really?
Okay. When you come back. Now, I'm going to tell you something, man.
All right, we'll be back.
Talk you in the door.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, so we're back. So you're at the doctor's office, and he gave you a painful shot?
I'm at the doctor's office. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's a nice guy, really knowledgeable. You know, I'm going to go back and see him. So I have a bit of flagellitis, and it comes from there's a band from the ball of your foot back to your heel. Mm-hmm. And if it stretches too far, he asked me, was I working out? And I said, yeah. If you stretch it too far, it, like, snaps the rubber band.
Okay.
And so it's like pulled apart. Mm-hmm. And he says the only way to fix it is you got to ice it. I want you to take a wanna leave twice a day in the morning and in the afternoon for 2 weeks. And I want you to start wearing like support shoes like New Balance or Asics or stuff mm-hmm. I ain't got, mm-hmm. you know. And so I'm trying to. So
I got Louis Vuitton. They don't go with a damn thing.
No, it
Louis,
don't go with
Louis Vuitton doesn't make those.
No, I don't know what the hell he was
you
talking
You see
about.
Them Aces, you going to have a problem.
I had on some Jordan flip-flops.
Right.
And I told him they actually make my foot. He said, no, you need more support than that. Mm-hmm. I said, but these feel absolutely great when I walk in them. Mm-hmm. So I got them on right now, uh-huh. right? And so he said, or you can, you know, expedite it and get a quicker fix. You can take cortisone shot.
Oh, man.
This needle's so long, and they put it in your heel.
Oh,
and then
man.
The cortisone is in the needle. So he says, now, it's going to feel like a bee sting. The doctor tells you a bee sting. Mm-hmm. You know, a bee Damn. Sting is pretty tough. So he pushes this needle in my heel, oh my God. I went, oh, man. And he says, hang in there, Mr. Harvey.
You didn't cuss?
Yeah, but I can't.
Oh,
you know.
Okay.
To tell the story.
So he says,
calm for you.
He says, now this, because I can handle that one, the bee sting.
Okay.
He said, now this is the part where it gets a little bit excruciating. Ooh. I'm going to inject the cortisone into the heel.
Oh, God.
And it's going to take about 60 seconds. I'm going to have to put it in there about 4 different times.
Wow.
And it's going Whoa. To be a little very painful.
Uncomfortable.
Just hanging in. And, man, when a doctor tells you that.
Yeah.
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 And I saw him push down on that needle.
Oh, Lord.
And, man, that doggone cortisone went in there.
You could feel it.
And, Lord
it
have
in.
Mercy. It was like fire. Woo. It was like fire going into your heel. And then he stops injecting it, and it calms down a little bit. Then he goes, okay, we got to do another one. And I'm going, well, hold on,
another
So he shoots another burst of fire into my heel. He did this 4 times. He said, this is the last one. And, man. My palms of my hands was dripping wet.
Uh-huh.
My underarms were wet, and beads of sweat was just on top of my bald head. Because when I get hot,
uh-huh.
you know, like eating jalapenos uh-huh. or something, yeah. I start sweating. Boy, I was in there having trouble. When I got my foot out of his hand, now he had my foot. Now, the first time he shot it in there, we almost lost the doctor. Because I damn near kicked, I caved his chest in. I damn near kicked him out that chair.
Yeah.
And man, let me tell you something. I kid you not, in Ooh. All of my life, I've never had a shot like that in my life.
Wow.
I've never had, look, man, I've had a needle in my eyeball from flashing when I worked at Ford Motor Company. They had to scrape this little piece of metal I got stuck in my eye,
Dang.
And they shot me in the eye with a needle. Mm-hmm. That took 30 minutes for me to not blink. That took 30 minutes for that to happen.
Wow.
So, but it did, but as soon as they touch your eye with the needle, it immediately numbs it. That didn't happen with the foot. It was worse.
Yeah,
don't ever get a cortisone shot in your
Woo!
Foot.
Well, did it help?
Yeah,
we gotta
feel?
Go.
Does it feel better?
We gotta go. We gotta go. We'll be back.
It don't feel better?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Okay, here we go with just one more thing as we wrap up the show, last break of the show. Here's a question for you guys. What do you do before sex to make it more incredible?
No, I can't say that. I'll say something.
Tommy,
say something really.
Is this tailor-made for you, Tommy?
I mean, I can give you some things, yeah.
What you got, Tommy?
I mean...
You're always talking about being naked.
I'm trying to filter it.
Edit it.
I'm trying to edit it down.
While you're editing, let me tell you, spur of the moment sex is always hot and exciting, but sometimes we have more time to prepare for upcoming sexy time, and putting that time to good use can make can help things, you know, go to the next level, so to speak. Here's how to get into the mood in advance to make sex more amazing. Don't look bored like you already know this, Steve. Okay, like you don't need any help in this area. Look at all the guys in the room like,
yeah,
like they just
yes, like they could have written
of all the stuff about me. Well, you ain't heard nobody talking about, you know what, he ain't nothing.
Okay, first of all, get in the mood. Time to start thinking about what's going to turn you on later.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you get in the mood. You start thinking about what's going to turn you on later. Okay, say it's mm-hmm. now. You know, when we get off, you start thinking about it now. So by the time we get off work and you get home.
All you got to do is tell me.
They polled the wrong
people. Tell you what. Tell you
if you mention it,
hey,
we're going to do something when we get home.
Yeah.
Bam.
That's enough.
Yeah, that's enough.
For any man, that's
men
enough.
Men are so easy.
Stop, stop everything you're doing, won't
you? Promise me something. Yeah.
You know what's been turning me on lately? I've been catching her ironing, and I don't know what it is when I catch her ironing. When I catch her ironing, it happens right there at the ironing board.
Get on.
Because them kids don't really come in the laundry part of the house. Boy, we be right there in that ironing board.
The ironing board can hold weight.
Nah, man, I like when we walking up the steps and I'm behind her.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, ironing is not sexy.
Sir, when my baby lean over and be ironing, God, dog, that is the greatest thing in the world. Now, I'd be like,
you know,
bringing clothes.
Anybody
can you
at
iron
my
me?
House.
Can you iron
once
me?
Once every I take one of these pills, it's on. Because they cost $45 damn.
Jay, do we have to hear about the pills?
Something going down. That's Jay.
Do we have to hear about these pills every time?
Something going down, shit.
The cost of the pills, all of that, every time.
Every single time.
Yes. Okay, so here's another tip. So, you know, when you're thinking about it early, start texting. Because it takes women a little longer.
Yeah.
We're
texting
not as ready, set, go as you guys. So it takes us a long time to warm, you know, longer time to warm up to get where you guys already are
and
have been.
I have another problem with that because I'm such a bad speller. And then I text, I'm going to tear that grass up. And you.
I'll tear that grass up. I love that.
He's so ridiculous.
I can't spell.
With it. One more time.
Yeah. When you get home, I'm going to tear that grass.
She's looking at her phone like, what?
Nah, that's what she going to say. She say, good, because I've been asking you to cut it. Yeah, you lazy. You lazy.
So
and another thing.
Oh, God.
Let that toilet seat down and take out that garbage.
Yeah, you have to be a good speller.
That was funny. Okay, so they say eat frisky friendly foods, you know, like oysters, things like that, you know, things, foods
that
say that they're aphrodisiacs.
Yeah. Well, don't eat Doritos.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't want you to eat food.
You learn the hard way.
Because Cool Ranch on your breath is not cool.
Exactly.
It smells a lot like a ranch. But it's cool as F. Your breath do smell like a ranch, but ain't nothing cool about
it. That's exactly what they say.
Don't eat
Steve.
Doritos, dog.
Avoid foods that cause bloating and bad breath. That's exactly what they
and
say.
And cigars are not helpful.
No.
At all.
No. No.
Boy,
no.
You don't know how many times
I But you love look. Your cigars.
Yeah, but you know, I know, you know.
So what do? Gargle?
Well, before I go to bed, gargle. I have to brush. First of all, I have to wash my mustache.
Oh, really, Steve?
Yeah. Then I got
an incident to the rinse cycle.
My lips is a whole nother separate bath. My lips is a whole separate bath.
You got to put your lips in the lip sink, right?
Yeah.
That's three
then
baths.
I got to brush my teeth with toothpaste.
Okay.
Then I brush them with Listerine.
Okay, wow.
Then I rinse with Listerine.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
And
all
then,
right.
You know, I go eat something cool and refreshing
yeah.
like a mint.
Yeah.
But don't come in there at all.
With cigar breath.
No, because I actually live with a bloodhound.
No.
Yes.
Oh, Marjorie
Women
has that.
Can
no.
smell.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You smell
yeah,
like
yeah.
an ashtray. Okay, cool. That can't,
yes.
can't come in here.
Yeah. Then it says access your wardrobe.
Yes.
You know, wear something sexy that your woman might like or your guy might like. So what would that be for you, Jay?
Draws. That's it. Get going. Junior, what you got, man?
Draws. I'm in them.
I got a suggestion.
What, Steve?
You know, if you decorate a jockey strap, it takes
what, like,
on a whole nother.
What, like bling it out?
Bling it out.
You know,
be
you can
dazzled?
Bling it out, you know, put a little print on it, leopard. You know.
Okay. All right. Tommy.
Put a snake mouth on it.
I'm coming
big
to bed
viper with fangs on it.
With a t-shirt tied in a knot.
What?
But the last thing
why
you
would
want
you
is
be in there with a t-shirt?
You don't want this shirt to go up. You do not want this shirt to go up.
We gotta go.
Y'all have a great weekend.
It's Monday.
We just had it.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit SteveHarvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.